Safety, dependability, and power. Chevy Silverado isn't happy unless the work is hard and the day is long. No wonder Silverado is America's number one best-selling retail pickup truck. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com and put a Silverado in your toolbox.
Joining us on the phone line is John Fenton. He is the chief executive officer of Patriot Rail Company. It's a major operator of rail and port logistics in North America. He is also the former CEO of Metrolink and was hired to turn around the nation's third largest commuter rail agency. So he knows a little bit about this stuff. Hey, John, welcome to WGN. How are you today?
I'm great, John. Thank you so much for having me.
I suppose you like the sound of this bill, huh?
I not only like it, I think it's critical for our country that we make some decisions around rail infrastructure that is sorely been neglected in many areas.
I quoted you, I hope correctly. Did you not tell me before the show that there's more money for rail in this than there is for highways and bridges?
Well, it's the new rail and transit spending combined. So it's the first time ever, when you look at the new rail and transit spending compared to the new dedicated highway funding, it is the first time that it's ever been more. And I think that's an important part because, as you recognize the need for mobility in this country, it's important that we get the transit piece right and we mix that appropriately with how we move freight trains as well.
What does that mean to us in Chicago?
Well, if you don't know, Chicago is the major rail hub in North America. You know, I had the privilege of managing freight operations there in the past, and it's a very congested area, as you know, and you think about what's needed. I mean, grade crossing separations from a safety perspective, more efficient movements of commuter lines. I mean, people are so dependent upon those lines for their daily living to get to and from work. So reliability would be a feature, safety would be a feature, ability to move more expeditiously freight in and out of the Chicago area would be an important element. But Chicago is the epicenter of freight and transit in this country.
How many lines come through here?
Well, if you look at all the railroads that come in and out of Chicago, my last count was somewhere around 25, 26. And then you put on the daily commuter service that goes in all directions. You know, there's a lot of train traffic that moves in and out of Chicago on a daily basis.
Lived in LaGrange Park, and there's the Burlington Northern Santa Fe line, as well as some freight train traffic goes right through the town. So you've got Western Springs, Hinsdale, Brookfield, LaGrange Park, all of these towns along the line. And it was a nice feature to be close to the train, but it was also very frustrating that just plows right through those suburbs and is a feature of life that you'll be behind a train sometimes trying to get your kid to school or get back from the grocery store, and you just got to sit there and wait. And I suppose there's no resolution to that. We knew it when we bought the house, but that's just the way life has to be, right?
Well, I think that's the value of this bill. I mean, you know, as urban areas are more and more congested and the need for us to have low-cost transportation, I mean, if you think about the advantages that the United States has had in getting their products to market, we've always been able to move our goods to market lower than any other country, which makes us our goods more readily competitive in world markets. So you have to figure out a way that you coexist. And I think one of the things that, as part of this bill, I would be looking at those grade crossing separations, you know, major corridors where you could move people in and out to where they don't get the delays by the trains as much. But, you know, mobility, again, goes back to being able to coexist because of the benefits. You know, as Americans, we take so many things for granted that we show up at a store and those goods that we hope to find are actually stocked on the shelves. And I think if there's anything that COVID has taught us, is that not necessarily the case. And so getting this money spent in areas to improve the ability to coexist and move freight expeditiously as well as people's lives is a good movement that I'm glad to see our government take.
When you say grade separation, what does that mean?
means that you would build an overpass or an underpass, so you, if the train was crossing, it's basically a bridge where you could go underneath the rail and you're not delayed by the train. So you can separate that grade crossing through a structure that would allow the movement of the cars and not interfere with traffic.
Every suburb in Chicago wants more of those. Everybody wants more of those.
Well, I think that's this is a case. I mean, it's not only just the suburbs. I mean, it could be emergency responders. I think this is a chance for our planning agencies and railroads to come together and look at what would be the best way to spend these dollars that would benefit the most people.
Stay right there. Your phone's clicking out a little bit, Ashley. Let's see if we can't fix that. We need to pause anyway. We're talking a little bit about how if this Senate bill goes through and the president signs it, that several trillion dollars of infrastructure spending, over three, will take place. I don't have a dollar-by-dollar breakdown for you of what it means in Illinois, but as the major rail hub in America, and as, again, he said, more dollars spent on new rail than existing rail than on new highways, you'd think that we would be the beneficiary of this. John Fenton's on a phone line, a port and rail supply chain expert. This is WGN.
For over 30 years, DeckTech has restored, cleaned, and sealed thousands of decks for Chicagoland homeowners. And now, DeckTech offers a new carpentry service. So whether it's a simple repair or new construction of a deck or porch, the experts at DeckTech will design and build your project with superior craftsmanship. DeckTech, the leader in deck restoration and now deck repair. Call 800-956-DECK or visit RestoreYourDeck.com.
1-800-956-DECK. Call Deck Tech.
Summer happens at Speedway, because everything you need for summer happens at Speedway. Like drinks, drinks happen. The freshly brewed drink, the splashed over ice drink, the wake you up drink, the cool you off drink, the make your brain hurt for a minute drink. All poured however you want them, whenever you want them, all summer long. So on every hot day, you have something cold to sip. Speedway, summer happens here. And now, get any size fountain or speedy freeze for just 99 cents. Excludes maximum.
John Fenton's on a phone line, port and rail supply chain and infrastructure expert, the CEO of Patriot Rail Company. So I guess you have some skin in the game too, right, John? I mean, maybe there are critics of this. Some of the Republicans think that money's being spent in areas that it shouldn't be, et cetera. It's not getting 100 votes in the Senate floor, but it would be good for your business, right?
It would absolutely be good for the rail industry and would be a big boost for our capabilities as a nation to, again, to move both people and goods.
You were telling me again off the air, we just had a short conversation before we came into the studio. You said, take this shirt that you're wearing and say, okay, somebody made the shirt, now you have it. What we never think about is how that shirt got made and how it finally got into my closet. And you said that that shirt has probably 15 supply chain touches. What does that mean?
Well, everything from getting the raw materials to the manufacturing plant to the distribution points after that. Most people who aren't professionals in this space don't realize the complexity of getting things moved around the world. There's multiple touches from multiple different carriers. We truly live in a global network, you know. So when you think about trains, or you think about ports, or you think about water movement, all these things are interrelated. They're all woven into creating what distributes these goods all around the world. So it is very complex, and it's not easily navigated. And so, you know, every time you put on a shirt, I guarantee it's either been touched by a train or it's been touched by one form of transportation. It's not where you get one single movement. And so the coordination that has to take place, bringing things in from ports, getting them off ships, getting them on a train, getting them back to the distribution facilities, getting them to the warehouses, then getting them to the stores, there's multiple touch points.
Hey, John Williams, the L trains in Oak Park were on street level for years. They finally elevated them in Oak Park in the 1960s. It was a huge improvement. 630 said the railroad underpass built a few years ago on Belmont Avenue in Downers Grove. The reason was safety for ambulances and fire routes. I'm telling you what, my friends in LaGrange and LaGrange Park would just love this, but it would be such a massive undertaking. There are so many roads that cross the railroad track there. Is it feasible to think about doing it in some of these towns, John?
Well, I think that's where you have to pick key streets. I mean, you're not going to be able to elevate every grade crossing, but that's where the planning comes in. What's your high use? What's your emergency routing to where if an emergency responder, you always know you can get through. Maybe you route school buses a certain way. Maybe there's ways you can improve it. You're never going to completely eliminate it, but you can make a dent in it and make sure that you're targeting those high utilized grade crossings. When I was in California and running Metrolink, you know, that was a key piece of what we worked on out there was multiple grade separations in key locations, which had a major impact. But that was the coordination with the city planners, people who lived in the communities, the railroad side of the house. We all came together to identify what were those key routes and focused on where we wanted to put those grade separations.
630 said, how soon does he think these infrastructure jobs will trickle down to applicants? That's a good question. How soon do they become actual projects, and then how soon does somebody get hired to do them?
Well, I think that's the big question. You know, if you think about what's going on, of course, the Senate today should pass the bill. Then it has to go to the House for some reconciliation, or will they sign it, or will they negotiate further? You know, my personal preference is this is something that needs to be done. It needs to be done timely. You know, I'm hoping that the House will take the Senate and get it up to the president's office and get it signed. If that isn't the case, you know, this bill is not approved. I mean, it still has to go through the House. It still has to be marked up or agreed upon. So that's the big question. Are our government officials, elected officials, going to take this and move it forward so we can start the process of improving the infrastructure and focusing on these things, or is there going to be more debate and discussion? And so really it's up to our elected officials.
Then does the elected official then put in specific projects like I want another set of train tracks from Union Station in Chicago to New Buffalo, Michigan, around the south and east part of the city and into southwest Michigan. A lot of folks go over there, and the highway and the skyway get jammed up, or it's expensive. And you can do it on a train, but it's not efficient. It takes too long. So we need another set of tracks there. It would seem to me like that shouldn't be impossible to do. You've already got one set of tracks. But then somebody has to literally write that up as a project, and then money has to be allocated to that, right?
That's correct, and that's where, you know, all communities are going to be competing for these funds, and so hopefully there's a lot of those projects. I know that from my time in government service, I was always planning on what I would like to see for capacity or safety improvements or service reliability improvements, and so we were always ready, and I assume that you'll find the same thing here, and I think it's pretty obvious that there's a lot of data that talks about captures delays and on-time performance, because we have to create a service that people want to utilize. And I think that's something that we forget about. You know, if you're taking public transit, you should have good, safe, reliable service that is comfortable and is a good riding experience. We're going to get people out of their cars. You have to create a service that people want to utilize. And, you know, it's not just that we have the service, but we have a service that really performs at what our mm-hmm. taxpayers are looking for. But, yeah, it's going to take some time, but I think that this could move very expeditiously if we all as a nation come together and the planners can put forward that and make some decisions. But you're not going to see anything You know, it's not like we're going to start shovel-ready projects next month. It's going to take some time.
Do you know what percentage of it is going to go to rails? And how much of it, I wonder if there's any hope in this that some of it will go to high-speed rail, because not that it's impossible to get to Indianapolis or Milwaukee or Detroit. I'm thinking of some of the destinations, Minneapolis in the Midwest for high-speed rail from Chicago. But that's been a lifelong dream of a lot of people in our audience. What are your thoughts about that?
Well, I was very involved with high-speed rail during my tenure at Metrolink. And I have very strong opinions about that. I think that, you know, they have to work in coordination with your regular transit movements. And you really have to build, again, an interrelated system. And I think you're going to have to look at where these projects most make sense. I mean, there's basically three projects right now in this country that are advancing. There's one here in the state of Florida, which would be moving from the Miami area over to Orlando. There's the project in California that's had a lot of publicity. And then there's a project in Texas that is well underway. Because your NEPA studies, all your environmental studies, all the things that you have to do with your planning and obtaining right-of-ways, these are multi-year projects. But if you could build a system that would leverage what the local transit agencies do to feed into the high-speed rail network and ensure that your light rail or your buses or your subways are all interconnected to where you think about first and last mile and how you really move people. And people don't think about even the need for parking garages and where people can park their cars and have that security of being able to get to and from the line. But there's a lot to it, but they all play a role. And I hope one day to see that first high-speed rail is built. I'm watching what California is doing. I had a very vested interest
in
how
that
would work.
Where does that one go?
It's basically connecting San Francisco to L.A.
Wow. How long is that? How long is that?
Oh, my. Now you're testing my mileage calculator, but it's, you got me on that one. I'd have to look up the exact miles.
Look that up. How far is it from San Francisco to L.A.? And they want to build a high-speed rail from there to there. That seems like a good idea to me, given the nature of traffic in Los Angeles and how big those cities are. But I think it's an intriguing thing to think of, too. We all think, well, then get some train tracks and make a train go lickety-split on them. But then how do you get to that train? Where do you park your car? You've got to find a way, just like an airport, 383 miles. And then you've got to find a way for people to sort of access it on both points. So it becomes even a bigger project than you might imagine at first blush. I'm running out of time. Will this help the supply chain backlog, says 630. Are you optimistic about that, John?
Absolutely. And, you know, I work in a specialized segment. I've worked in the large railroads. As a matter of fact, I came from Union Pacific and Santa Fe and Canadian National, and so I understand the freight side. And then I work in the short line space, which we're more the first and last mile people, and we're preserving service to more rural areas. And we're always looking for support, whether it's right now the movement to more clean, sustainable locomotives, to ensuring that these bridges and the service reliability is there. You know, I think it's important that we protect these urban areas with these less density lines. A lot of people are dependent upon those manufacturing facilities.
Well, with that thought in mind, I'm just thinking, boy, if they can do more to ease the train car congestion in the Chicago area, this will be money well spent. Not shovel ready, but I like the sound of that. John Fenton is a port and rail supply chain expert from Patriot Rail Company. We're out of time today, John, but I'm sure we'll visit again. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you, John. Take care. Thank you so much.
WGN Radio News is next.